Bob, are you ready to get started?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about
okay.
that. Yeah.
I think we're... I think we can keep this real informal. I'll just introduce it. I'm John Soles with the Department of Marine Resources, and all I'm here to do is just to make sure nobody gets into a fist fight and get your questions answered and that sort of thing, and gives Bill a chance to explain his project and everybody here to ask questions and share any concerns, comments, or what have you. I do have, and I'm not going to be involved in the decision-making either. I'm just here to...
The moderator.
Moderate. What I have here, though, if you want to be on the mailing list for any notices, just put your name and your address, and whenever we have anything that goes out in the mail, you'll get a copy. So I'll just pass that around.
All right.
And then other than that, I also have, I don't know how familiar you are with the whole aquaculture leasing program, but we just reprinted our little brochure. I'll bring some over. That really explains how the public can be, how you can get involved in the whole process, how you can make comments, what your legal rights are and that sort of thing. Other than that, I think I'd like to, if you don't mind, since it's a small group, to just go around the table and identify folks. If you don't have to, if you don't want to, but like I say, I'm John Soles with Marine Resources.
Yeah, Arlen Larson, I'm a member of the Shellfish Committee.
Yeah, great.
Bob Ramsell, I'm on the Shellfish Committee.
Harlan McLaughlin, a Searsport resident.
Yeah.
Wendy Vaughn.
Billy Vaughn.
Wayne Gannon, fisherman. CSI fisherman, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm also a Zone D representative for the lobster fisherman.
Yeah.
I'm David Black. I'm a lobster fisherman in the Upper Bay. I just heard about this. So I thought, scope it out.
Scope it out. That's the purpose. So, Billy, why don't you just explain your project, and then we'll take...
My name is Billy Vaughn. I've been a commercial fisherman for about, 30 years, 35 years, something around that. I fished out in Bedford, Bahamas, Key West, almost everywhere on the East Coast. And then I came in from offshore, and I started raising shellfish down the Cape. So things got a little tight down the Cape. As far as, in front of people's houses and fishing, everybody knows the rules and regulations of today. I don't have to tell everybody how bad it is today. So I figured I'd come up here and try my luck up here, I guess. That's about it. And it's going to be off of Sears Island. And the boundaries are pretty easy. It's going to be a 20-acre grant over around. Lease bottom?
Lease, yeah.
Lease bottom, yeah.
Can I show them?
Yeah.
This is all we have right now. If you'd like to walk around. We're just looking to...
Wendy, want to hand some of those?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you got one?
Take some, just take some water between the island and the causeway along Searsport.
Searsport side or
Stockton side? Stockton side.
I'm gonna grow oysters. I'm gonna start off with 150,000 total oysters. My first year, I gotta find out what the predator and what my, what I'm gonna have for the second year. I mean, I might have 30% mortality. I might have 10%. I might lose all of it. I don't know yet. I mean, I have to figure it out. I'm gonna try 6x6 cages. And I'm going to try, if that doesn't work, I'll hang them off of Chinese lanterns. On the map here, the shallow water will be for my 6x6 cages. And when I get out to that little drop-off there, 12 feet, 14 feet right out in there, that's where I'll probably hang my Chinese lanterns out there. And I hope to build it up within 5 years, probably to 4 million cohorts and probably 5 million oysters when I get done.
What were those numbers again?
Want to start off with?
Yeah.
I'm going to start off with 150,000 4-millimeter to 6-millimeter oysters. And then quahogs, I'll probably start off with 150,000. And I might start off with a 1/2-inch quahog, just so I can get things going. And I have to find out what the rate will be. I might lose 30%, I might lose 60. I have to see what kind of, green crabs, if there's a disease out there. There's quite a lot to it.
In 5 years, you project what?
I'm going to have probably 4 to 5 million cohorts. It all depends on the market itself. If the market's strong, I'll do 5 million. And then I'm going to do 5 million oysters. Basically, one of my really biggest concerns here is I have to figure out if I can float these off the bottom or if I have to put them directly on the bottom. There's trawlers you can put oysters in, there's Chinese lanterns, do you guys know what a Chinese lantern is?
Maybe explain the gear, yeah, that's a real important.
A Chinese lantern is basically, if you've ever been into a store that has onions or potatoes, they hang it off a ceiling, and then you put like 50,000 in the top one, 25,000 in the bottom one. You have to basically figure out in that water where the best flow of nutrients is for the shellfish. So I'll have to change it all the time. I might have oysters that grow, say, 3 feet down that might grow 1/2 inch. In 6 months, and I might have the ones that grow 8 inches that are 6 or 8 feet down. I think I have a picture of my lanterns here somewhere.
Kind of like a vertical set of traps.
I thought over on the Penobscot shore over there, someone a few years ago grew some oysters over there. Is that you?
No.
What? Do you know anything about that?
There was something over in Blue Hill Pond, Salt Pond.
Still there.
Oh, I've seen. I was involved in a program down in Massachusetts where we did 40,000 bushel out of Taunton River, and we moved them. This was years and years ago. We moved them to a place off Cape Cod Canal called Widow's Cove, and we got 20,000 bushels to go find this kind. They all grew out. We all marketed them, and the other 20,000, for some reason, just turned on us and died. I don't know why. That's just, it's just part of what happens. But that's all stuff I got to figure out, how good it is up here. So that's why I'm going to take it's a 10-year lease, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 10-year lease. So, and I figured the acreage that I need is because I'm going to have to change my water depth of whatever the oysters. The co-ops are pretty, they're pretty hardy creatures. They take about any kind of punishment or anything that you want, basically. But oysters, they're real finicky. There's all kinds of disease. You got MSX, you got herpes, you got shell blind. I've seen oysters die because when an oyster grows out, if you don't break the tips off of them, they grow up to be banana oysters, which are not marketable at all. You have to throw them all away. Everything you grow, you just throw it away. It's no good for nothing, basically. I've been doing it for probably a little over 30 years, and I've seen every kind of disease. I've dealt with clams, quahog, mahogany quahogs.
Natives.
Mike, the grant where I'm proposing is pretty easy. I'm going to stay outside the natural rock pile there. Right in there. I'm not going to come into the family area at all. Not where any of you guys dig, not where any of the family area is.
That will remain open to everybody.
Yeah,
public.
Yeah.
So does someone have a marked off copy? Because this is a nice drawing.
It's not finalized until we have a state guard down there.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hire a surveyor to come in.
Oh, actually not to the shore.
All right.
Yeah, Green told me about this. Yeah.
And I'm surprised at some point down the road they don't turn that all into a mooring field.
No, right outside of me is going to be a mooring field. It already is.
There is.
Yeah, the wind's already
told me.
Let's go
about this being an emergency mooring field in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right through here, I think it's strong.
Yeah.
And then I'm surprised at some point Searsport don't develop.
Actually,
yeah, what Searsport did make an agreement with Stockton.
Like this, but I'm not positive. 12 acres is clear.
That's right in the area that's most widely used by the public. No doubt.
I can see it. Yeah,
I can see it.
This is where I...
This is your home.
Yeah.
Well, we're hoping to enrich the harbor by adding the shellfish into it, because not only will we be growing things in the cages, but the spat will escape and hopefully start repopulating the area around the whole harbor, too. That'll leave it open for anybody. But that would be our goal, to help reestablish. Billy was singularly responsible for reestablishing commercial oyster production in Wareham. It had no oysters at all, and he brought it back, and it's made it a commercial business for the whole town to have access.
We just got regulated. I mean, that's basically what happened. You know, I mean, it came to a point where a guy told me that I think I had 4.5 million put up in cages, ready to go to the market. We always market our stuff before Thanksgiving, and around the holidays was a prime market time. The stuff was already sold, everything was already set. So I had to go to a town meeting, and the town meeting says, Billy, he says, I don't want your trucks down there before 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, we used to show up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, put the stuff in the trucks, go to market, and be done. 7 o'clock in the morning, we'd have the money, and we'd be done. So now we're talking later. And then it just got to a point where it just wasn't feasible. It just got to a point where it's going to do it. I know all the laws. Yeah.
Well, they were trying to shut down commercial fishing of all kinds in Buzzards Bay. They just wanted recreational. That was our primary motive to leave Massachusetts.
Yeah, I was saying, well, they don't draft my boyfriend, and they come with that regulation. So I got hurt pretty bad.
Yeah, he was one of three. That was all that was left.
Yeah.
You guys know that, though.
Bob, you have any questions?
Yeah, I still haven't resolved in my mind how competitive your creatures will be with Mother Nature's that are in that same area, which is our primary harvesting area for shellfish.
Well, I'll give you, I don't know about, I took an area a lot smaller than this, probably a cove, probably less than 5 acres. Down in Wellfleet, I grew out, I'd say in 1 year's time, I grew out well over 2 million out of this one, you know, and it had natural stuff to boot. And that winter, I think 15 commercial guys went in there and harvested all winter long, plus what my stuff was in there. You know, I've never, ever seen them fight for food or anything, because we're talking about a whole different, different creature here. You know, you're basically worried about the clams. The only thing I will be doing is I'm going to have a predator control. I mean, I have to have that.
Yeah.
I have to do either, the green crabs. I mean, they might wipe me out the first year. I don't know. I'm going to have to do something about that.
They sure do have
them. Oh, yeah.
Well,
that's why I have to figure out where I can put my stuff. If I try it on the bottom and by putting netting on the bottom, what a green crab will do, he'll go up to it and he'll gnaw it away and he'll say, oh, I can't get in there to eat. So what he'll do, go up there and he'll lay babies, and the babies grow in the net. So the babies sit there and your stuff is about this big. And you just eat. So one tray of 100,000 is gone, just gone right away. So then I have to figure out, what the depth, where I can grow them. It's quite a, I'll know after the first year where I can put this stuff, whether it has to be out deep or it can be in shallow one or the other. And the cogs, I'm not really worried about them. I'm going to give them a half an inch my first shot. They'll probably take me about a year and a half, maybe 2 years to grow, I think. All depends what kind of winter I have, too.
Yeah,
I got to worry about that, too. There's a lot of worries.
You mentioned Wellfleet and Stockton Harbor. There's a little difference between, Wellfleet's right out on the end of the cape, and Stockton's, that's pretty brackish water. I mean, is that conducive to growing oysters?
Stockton River? is the biggest producer of oysters. You can't harvest any out of Taunton River anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's, number one, there was too many factories, it's polluted, don't own any. Just a small estimate up there, we took up, you know, close to 40,000 bushel one shot.
Yeah.
Didn't even phase that place. There's a program up there right now that takes out cohorts out of Taunton River. They take out, let's see, they sold out town. How many did we transfer?
I don't know, a lot.
500 bushel, I think.
Something like
that. What was the, what's the salinity up? I think that's what you're getting at, right?
Taunton River.
It's pretty fresh.
Yeah, notorious. Taunton River is just almost all fresh.
Yeah. I mean, they thrive. I think they thrive in the
West. They do.
Yeah,
they do.
That's a good
place. Oh, yeah, that's finest kind. Yeah. That's where 90% of my stock will come from, you know.
And one reason we like that particular area, because there's a lot of freshwater outlets that'll be dumping into that to bring nutrients down too.
I mean, the co-ops might not. Maybe the co-ops are going to take me 5 years to go, and not worth my while to go. Maybe it'll strictly just be oysters, you know. So, I mean, that's.
Yeah, what sort of shore impact does this have?
None.
No, you're talking about trucks and so forth.
No.
No, I do everything with trailer.
We'll be. Yeah.
I have a big Carolina skiff. I'm going to get a bigger one. Matter of fact, probably a 24-foot Carolina. It's 8 feet wide, 22 feet long. Just nothing but a big work platform. That's all it is. Got a 4-stroke on the back of it.
Yeah, we'll use the boat ramps.
Yeah. That's all. My stuff will be trailered in and out. I have no desire to walk over wood flats and any of that stuff.
Yeah, we won't even be on the island or the causeway.
No, I thought about all that. It's too much luggage for me to go back and forth and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
How much will this cost, your setup?
Well, I just ordered for another grant that I'm working on. It's 1,004 millimeter oysters. I'm running $22 right now. Yeah, it's $22. It's for 150,000. It's going to cost me. At 4 millimeters, it's going to cost me $4,600, I believe. Now, if I go up to something like a 9 or a 10 millimeter, I'm probably looking at, I think it's $80. Now, my cohogs at a half an inch is going to cost me for 150,000. What do you quote me? I think it's somewhere around. A little bit better than 4,000 for those.
What's your whole operation going to cost you to set this up? What's it going to run?
Between my boats and my cages and everything.
Yeah, the whole deal.
Well, a lot of the net night I have right now. My cage is with a guy that we buy agricultural supply out of Rhode Island that we buy all our stuff out of. The cages alone run us anywhere from $150 to $400 each. My Chinese lens will probably run me close to $500 a piece. And then I got my buoys I have to run. But if I strictly just want with my cages, without my boat, my cages, and with my stock too.
Well, I'm just looking for what's the parameters. $150,000, a $2 million operation, or how big is your operation going to be when you get it going?
To start off.
Probably around $30,000 to $40,000 when I get done. That's with the loss too. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to have for the loss.
Who are the investors in your operation?
My good old mother.
Mother.
You kidding me? She don't know it yet. She just don't know.
Is there grant money out there, Bill?
There used to be. Yeah. There used to be. There used to be a lot of it around. Yeah. A
lot of cuts.
Yeah, a lot of cuts now. Yeah, they don't even want to hear you asking for money no more like they used to.
Well,
you know, they used to really give us money. You know, believe it or not, they did. You know, there was a program years and years ago that they didn't want any more two strokes. No more two strokes anymore. Anything, because it spit too much oil on them. You know, everything. So they had a program where if you trade yours in, they give you $4,000 for a new one, even though a new one costs $10,000. And everybody went and bought 4-stroke engines, you know. But that program's gone, too. Hopefully I can find some money out there, hope.
So you plan to handle the day-to-day operations by yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Two of us.
Yeah.
Two of
you. Do you live up this way?
Yeah, I have a house right over here.
And is part of this lease that if you abandon it at a certain point, that you take everything out?
The state makes me, I have to have a bond. Mm-hmm. I have to have a bond. In case I get up and decide to leave or whatever. I forgot what the state makes me for a bond now.
I think it varies. I think it's $2,500 or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure. It may actually be in the booklet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be five.
Yeah, this is a bond on
I think it just went up.
In case I just, you know, in case any of my stuff washes up on the shore, I don't go down and pick it up, you know.
Yeah.
The bond takes care of all that.
You don't think that there'll be any competition for the food for the local shellfish?
No, never. No, not when you have, not when you have the when a shellfish grows, there was a big thing years ago about this. We had a place called Widow's Cove, and they were afraid when we brought in, just to start off with, we brought in 2,000 bushel oysters, and that's what their sole purpose. They were scared to death of this, but the way a shellfish filters food out, it takes so much, and then it gives something back. It takes so much and gives something back. Now, a clam does different. Cohog does, and an oyster filter is different, you know, so it's all different. You have a cohog that's in the bottom that goes up and down 6 to 8 inches in the mud. You have an oyster that'll be sitting in a Chinese lantern that'll be 4 to 5 feet off the, you know, off the surface. So that's a whole different food chain. There's all kinds of different food chains when it comes to salt water. You have to find out where it's going to feed the best, you know. So there
are scientific studies about that, probably?
Oh, yeah, somebody really wanted to. Yeah, I've seen them out of Woods Hole before, years ago. We've seen them.
It was a real concern in the dam. I'll just interject. In the Damariscotta, there was a real concern, and the Darling Center did some work. And, you know, basically you get, I forget what it was, 50 feet or so away from the other oyster operations, and there was no significant difference.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
And that's an area of the state where we really are. We probably reached close. I don't want to say we have, but you know, there are just so many operators in the Damariscotta that it is getting crowded, and it's causing not so much ecological problems, but folks
seeing a lot of
leases there.
What about how big an area is this going to take up? A lot of people kayak around in that area, and family boating, and
they'll be able to.
You know, it won't be a problem. Mm-hmm. How far will they? How close will they have to? How can they come to your equipment and stuff? Will they? And how will they know? Will it be fenced off?
No.
Be lighted at night?
Along the shore, I'll have four signs on post. I'll have four signs, and out in the water, I'm gonna have big orange balls. You know, it'll say, you know, least bottom or oysters. You know.
That's what the signs on land will say?
Yeah.
What will that mean to me when I'm walking along and I see that?
It'll say shellfish propagation. You know, agricultural farming.
That's about all they'll see are the outmarks.
The reasons for the signs are what?
We don't require them to be on land, but we require that they be marked so that if there's a complaint or something, you know who to contact if gear gets loose. Or there's something that, you know, doesn't look right. You know who to contact, in addition to the DMR.
Yeah.
Will these Chinese lanterns and these trays are going to be buoyed up?
The Chinese lanterns will. Yeah. I have to figure out exactly what, you know, what the, like I say, in my first year, I have to figure out what my loss would be, putting it in the cages.
It might be good, Billy, to sort of just describe, you know, if you got 20 acres, how many buoys are going to be that people are going to see, and how many
along
strings
the shore,
of lanterns are going to, and, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, right at the mean low water, where the least bottom will begin. I'll have signs there, and it'll say agricultural shellfish farming, and probably within 4 or 5 feet of the signs, there'll be my cages, and I'm hoping that I can place those on the bottom or 6 inches off. I'll know that within the first couple months, and then as the water changes and you know the winter comes on, I'll be hanging my lanterns out right around the drop off, right around the 12, 13 feet of water right in there. I might have anywhere from 2, 3, probably 10 to 20 buoys. I would say the first year I'll have no more than five up there. Because I'm only going to raise 150,000, so, and my co-ops won't be in the Chinese lands. Just my oysters will be under there. But I mean, these will be big balls, just like the soy fishing balls. You know, And then I'm required at my four corners, right?
Yeah.
My four corners. And all my stuff that I'll be buying will all come with pathological reports, saying that they're clean. They're from a licensed, you know, dealer.
Here in Maine.
Yeah, right in Maine.
Not going to be any floats?
Not permanently, no.
No, not like a muscle raft.
No, yeah.
No. Oh, yeah, no. No, I do. Yeah, no.
I've got some traps down there, too.
Yeah. How's that work?
Up to their ankle, I guess.
I see him out there. Is he doing anything?
I haven't seen Joe this spring yet. Yeah.
So. Has it impacted you negatively?
He says, well, a little bit with the traps get caught in his ankles, and I don't get my trap back.
Mm-hmm. There was a big stink about that when they put those down there. Yeah. After they got them out.
Was he having anchors out there?
People didn't like the looks of them.
Was he having anchors?
Has it affected your fishing?
Yeah. It hasn't affected me.
He's granite rock and that.
Yeah.
People had all kinds of excuses. It was a hazard in navigation and all this crap. But that's all disappeared. Nobody cares. They learned a little bit.
So they're doing the same thing down there that he wants to do here? And
no, it's not quite different. Yeah.
It's rope culture. It's like a float, you know, big floats in the water with ropes, you know, suspended from them.
So you're going to have big orange balls and then orange balls or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, you'll see. It will take propagation.
Are boats allowed to go in that area at all?
Not inside the grant, they won't. I mean, you could go in a kayak.
Well, it depends. I mean, are there lines?
If there was a trawler
right under the water.
I'll have that right on the buoys itself. If I'll be running, you know, trawls and you know, from one Chinese land to another, you know, basically the Chinese land for more, and I'll probably be putting up like 100 or 150 pound mushroom directly down from the Chinese land and then right up, you know, and that's mm-hmm. what it is. But I see people in there in the summertime, you know, kayaking, canoeing in there.
Yeah, if the stripers ever come back, you'll see some stripers off the shore,
fishermen
off the shore.
And then I have that one place that Wayne wants me to, Habermas wants me to mark out. It was an old shipwreck right there.
Right, yeah. Almost on the south end of your site.
Yeah. He says, I have to mark that out. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have, it's going to be surveyed by a licensed, you know, engineer. Same people that do the land. I'm going to have them come down put all the coordinates and everything in, the GPS and everything, so it'll be exact.
They actually have to dive and check out the bottom anyway.
Yeah, the state will come down right after. The state will come down and dive.
The Army Corps of Engineers get involved in this at all?
I think I have.
They will. They're part of this. It's explained, I believe, in this booklet, but they'll be right alongside DMR when it's being permitted, so they get a permit.
I have to notify them. Anything I do, I have to notify them. You know, and they have to stay okay.
A guy named Chris Davis.
I heard him.
He did stuff that style, but he chatted that whole thing. He's got a ring on his boat, a GPS, and a computer. He's got a beautiful
guy. Oh, yeah, those guys aren't good.
Yeah, he's getting knocked out right out.
Yeah.
Is this lobster bottom, you guys?
Not for me, it is. I don't care.
Yeah, maybe it's some, yeah. Some guys.
There may be some, you know, some small fishermen up there. I can't answer that.
Gets fished in pretty hard all around that old Sizzle Island.
Right.
Yeah, there might be some locals that set in there, but they're more over by GAC. There isn't a heck of a lot of water up in there, is it?
Mm.
That's something you've got to be careful of, don't make any enemies.
We know that.
There's a bunch of two living brothers around, I'll tell you.
Something
disappears up in that part of the world.
Who is responsible for security? Does that have, does Searsport play any role in that?
I can't speak
basically
for
all every grin I've ever run or I've ever done any work on or anything. I mean, we handle everything ourselves, basically. You know, they used to let us have insurance. They used to, but things have gotten so out of hand that you couldn't even afford to buy the insurance for this stuff anymore.
What the lease does is, it wasn't until a few years ago that you were required to have a lease for putting stuff in the water, or suspended stuff in the water. But what that does is that by him leasing the bottom, then the state is responsible for enforcing the conditions of the lease, and also if you start getting vandalism, the Marine Patrol can investigate.
The problem I see is the muscle wraps on that. People don't mess with those because, you know, the mussels. You can pick up mussels anywhere.
Right.
You know, oysters. Oh, yeah.
Oysters.
Because I know oysters are $1 a piece. You know, they're valuable.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They.
That's not what we get paid.
It's probably worth some money.
Yeah, believe it or not, I had one guy I sold to. I brought in $200,000 one time, and there was a guy in there, and I said, geez, I said, them mussels. I said, they look just like my oysters. Oh, no, these are mussels. I said, cut that bag open. He cut it open, sure, and I could tell my oysters, I can tell them my way, just the way I grow them, I know. Because they're flat on the bottom, and they look just like a teardrop. And they have a deep, deep dish, you know, no bananas, no nothing in there. And the guy said, oh, I found these. I said, you found them, all right.
Yeah.
There's a recourse.
Yeah.
Really prove them. They're not numbered or anything.
I know exactly what you mean by, you know, people helping themselves, you know.
I know. Yeah, Stockton's had some problems up in the.
You guys use any kind of antibiotics or fungicides or anything like that on these guys?
No.
I wouldn't even do this business if I anything like that. No.
Okay. Is this area that you selected anywhere near the archaeological sites on Sears Island?
No. I have a.
Be further off.
Why did you pick this site?
Well, number one, there's a lot of reasons why I picked this site. Number one, I personally think it has a good food colony myself. I think so. Number two, it's I'm not going to be infringing on anybody. I don't think myself. You know, I mean, we do have a couple kayakers, maybe a couple bass fishermen once in a while. I'm not going to get any family permit areas. I'm not going to come inside. I'm not going to trample over any of the, you know, your clams or anything like that. And it has a shallow and it has a deep water, which I need both. Because if you just try to grow these on strictly on, like the Amascotta, you know, they have those flats, you know. And I find it really hard to grow any big amounts, you know, when you only have 6 inches of water strictly directly across. And I need the deep water, especially come winter time. I'm hoping though I don't get frozen in there. You know, not too hard. I know, you never know. You know, I'll have to drop that stuff. I'll have to drop that stuff right to the bottom quick. You know, I mean, that's another thing I have to deal with.
They put snow houses in the stocks.
It's protected as well.
Why do you think that they're having such a hard time to have shellfish survive there if there's a lot of food and if it's a good place to grow them? Because where you're talking about is right in front of where they're trying to grow clams and not having much luck at all. Why do you think that? I don't understand.
Well, clams, number one, clams is I've raised millions of clams. I've done it in Wareham, I've done it in Wellfleet, I've done it in Dennis, I've done it in Yarmouth. One of the biggest problems with clams is you have a clam, and what does a clam do? It goes up and down, right? Can't move, can't do nothing. It just goes up and down, depending on what kind of season. Its neck, it comes up, green crab comes along, that clam neck is up, snips the clam neck off, the clam dies, you dig it up, you see a whole clam shell, just like that beautiful clam shell, you flip it open, it's all dead. Number two, you got worms galore. I've seen worms wipe out thousands of bushels of clams. In Wellfleet, years and years and years ago, they had a thing about worms that came in there. Predators, as far as soft-shell clams, are notorious for killing.
You know? Do you think it's a predator problem that they have here?
And there could be a lot of other things. It could be, number one, that the turning over of the bottom. There just could be a lot of things in there. I mean, I haven't been there long enough to study the soft-shell clams. But I've done that a while back. I bought a commercial license. I think there was only one in the town that got sold.
Yeah,
I bought it. I went down there commercial fishing, clamming, you know, on the Sears board here. I flipped the ground over, and I knew right away
it just wasn't, it wasn't viable unless things were going to change drastically, really drastically. I mean, where you're trying to grow those clams, there's certain areas there that they'll grow finest kind. They'll grow excellent. One place over there near that soft sand over there, and will grow good. Another thing you have to find out, you have to find out where the brooding stock is in that place. Does anybody know where the brooding stock is to those clams? You know, you just can't have seed clams and take seed clams and put them in an area and say, okay, they're going to grow. It won't happen. You'll grow those clams, and a lot of them will live, and a lot of them will die. If you don't find where that brooding stock is to supply those clams, and what's happening with your brooding stock, you'll never get that area set off like you should. But, I mean, that's just the wild.
But it used to be a good area.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of areas that used to be good that...
What do you think happened to change that?
It could be a lot of things. It could be overdug. The brooding stock could have changed. You could have some kind of